We're in Shar Simcha. We're talking about different types of happiness. Now we're talking about a happiness that's that gets out of hand. Last time we had a fascinating type of happiness, which I think we should talk about a little bit more for a minute. Something very significant. He talked about the idea of being happy when other people fail and mess up in Avodas Hashem. And again, we've talked a lot about competition and how the nature of man is we tend to look at over our shoulder. You know, if it makes you feel bad that you're looking at others, I'll give you a little chizuk, because there is a story in Rashi and in Bereishis, right? The Gemara in Chulin brings it, of the sun and the moon, right? We're taught this story from when we're little children, but that's usually the problem, is when we learn things when we're little, sometimes we never think about them again. And that's a very big problem that I learned from my Rebbeim, to always revisit the basics. We like to say, right, if there's ever a famous Ramban, so you should look at it and read it inside, you're going to find a lot more chidushim, because no one reads it, because it's so famous that no one bothers to read it. It's a common problem. So there's a Rashi. It's a Rashi that little children know in Cheder, that the moon was upset because the sun, he didn't want there to be two kings, a king of the day and a king of the night. And the moon complained to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu basically said, okay, you know, this is what you want. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mocked in him, and he made him small, and then he became a Ma'or Katan. And that's how the moon became so small, because he was looking to see what the sun was doing. And his taina was, there can't be two kings. And when we see a Rashi in Bereishis, let me just explain the significance. Bereishis is the fiber and all the materials of creation, not just the physical materials, but also the most common and central challenges that anyone has in Olam Hazeh can be learned in the Parsha of Bereishis, because that's like the beginning. So if in the beginning of Bereishis, the story of Bereishis, again, I'm not going to discuss with you whether the moon and sun are talking and having a dialogue. That's not important. That's not the point. The point is that Chazal are highlighting that in the Bria itself, there was a competition that actually was taking place over here. There was someone looking over his shoulder and claiming, you know, there's not enough room for two successful people over here. And if he's going to shine, then I feel like I'm going to shine less. And what ended up happening was, you know, Hashem basically showed him that when you are worried that someone will outshine you, and that's how you want to be, that's how you want to grow, is by pushing someone out, you end up becoming small. That's what ends up happening to you, which is really very interesting. So again, don't ask me to explain the dialogue between the sun and the moon and Hashem. I don't think that's the point. The point is that there's a deep and central part of the creation that presents a challenge of measuring yourself up to other things, not to look at yourself as an individual, but to always look over your shoulder and decide how big you are based on that. The moon could have had everything. He would have been such a king. He would have been a king of the night, and the night wouldn't have been dark, by the way. The night would have been quite bright. In fact, that's the whole idea of Kiddush Levana. Very, very interesting, this whole idea of Kiddush Levana. But if we look in a sitter, and I'll take one out. I'm in my house. I'll take out my sitter. Let's look at Kiddush Levana. You guys can look at it too if you want. Anyone who has a sitter can take out for Kiddush Levana. Right? That's one of the hard things to remember when you don't have a minion, is Kiddush Levana, because you need the guy who bangs and says, Kiddush Levana. But when you're davening B'yechidus, you need to check the Luach yourself. But here we are in Kiddush Levana, right? So it says over here, in the bracha of Kiddush Levana, which means this is the actual focus of it. We're seeing the new moon, and we're saying Vela Levana Amar Shitzchadesh Ateres Tiferes Lemusivatem. We're saying that the Levana should shine, and that it should be restored to its to what it's supposed to be. And we come back to that a little bit later in the Yehi Ratzon. We say, Lo Yeh Bashum Miut, the Levana should not be small anymore. V'Or Levana K'Or Achama, the light of the moon should be like the sun. U'K'Or Shivas Yimei Breishis, like the light of the 7 days of creation. K'Mosha Haisa Kode Miuta. What is going on? We're davening for the moon? This is very interesting. The answer is that the way we're explaining is there's a certain force in the Bria where there's strife, and there's machlokes, there's divisiveness, there's kina, there's too much competition in the world, and that's all represented in the moon and the sun's relationship. Somehow, when you're davening in Kiddush Levana, you're davening for the world to be restored to a place where everyone will be able to grow together and not be intimidated by someone else shining, but knowing that ultimately everyone shining is better, is the best thing for everyone. And that's why this bracha, it says, in the beginning of the bracha, it says, Sasim usmechim lasus ritzon konam, that the luminaries should be happy doing their job. Well, why are we davening that they should be happy to do their job? That's exactly what we're talking about. All of us have jobs. We're all luminaries. We are all a source of light to everyone. We're brought here to shine. And a person has to realize that they have a job to do. Their job is great. Their job is unique to them. And anyone else, whatever they're doing, literally has nothing to do with us. And we have to sort of ingrain this into ourselves. We always point this out, right? That successful people by nature are people people who make an impact in the world are people who did something that wasn't there before. All of us want to be that significant. So now imagine if they're always looking over their shoulder, then they're not going to get anything done. Somebody just told me, my wife told me, who said this? Oh, yeah, in the new Rav Noach Weinberg biography, in the beginning, the author, Yonason Rosenblum, so he quoted my Rebbe, Rav Moshe Shapiro, and he said that we were not brought to this world to just rearrange the furniture. And that's a very deep concept. I want to try to explain. I was very excited to get a zug from my Rebbe from this book. The idea is, what's the idea of rearranging furniture? So the chair is there, actually, by the way. Whoever has been in my base medrash before, how many of you have been in my little clubhouse? In my base medrash? Should I take you off mute? Is anybody there? Hello?
I've been by Rebbe's base medrash.
So Reuven, I'm going to show you the new base medrash. We redid it. It's been Corona redone so that I can learn better. You want to see? Everyone want to see? I assume so.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We're going to do it. I'm using the camera's going to show the opposite side. Here we go. Okay. See how spacious it is?
Yeah.
It's like a different room. I can't even tell you. And it's very important. All we did was we rearranged the furniture, like Rav Moshe Shapiro said. But I guess that's a tzarchian because it was a big takana. Look how big this place is. I can even now pace back and forth, which I wasn't able to do. I can do a lot of things, and I stay here now much more. Now that it's first let me show you a picture of my Rabbi Rav Moshe Shapiro. It's a nice picture. So anyway, I'm gonna put it back. Here, Sean, so you can go back. You can see. One second. So, I'm sorry I'm not wearing a tie, by the way. I've just been trying to be, I'm so busy, and I'm in my house. So I'm not wearing a tie all day, so I try to put on a tie for the VOD. Actually, the past two VODs, I was wearing a Shabbos tie because I just couldn't find a weekday tie. I wonder if you guys noticed that. But, okay, but I'm wearing my jacket, so at least it's mechubad. And I'm in my house, which means that in your house, you don't always have to wear a tie, but I'll try in the future. So my Rebbe said, we're not here to just rearrange the furniture. What does that mean? What it means is the following, that, you know, it's if a chair is here, so, I'm going to move the chair to the left. You're not doing what you're here for. You're here to make moves. You're here to look for how you can contribute. You're here to see if there's a void that you can fill for others. Now, it doesn't need to be you mean to open some sort of program or organization. That's not what we're talking about. But we have to feel like we have what to add. If someone's upset, that we can cheer him. I can cheer him up. Not someone else. I can cheer him up. That if there's a Dvar Torah at the table, I will be the one to say the Dvar Torah. I will elevate. I will give an insight. I will be there for others to do things, but not just to just basically rearrange the furniture, is to really not ever find what makes you unique. The couch was already there. So what was your big contribution? You moved the couch from the right side of the room to the left side of the room. That's not why we're here. And I think the reason why, I don't remember Rav Yonason Rosenblum, he was quoting it because Noach Weinberg was a very big doer. He was somebody who really came to do something. But we all came to do something. We can't think it has to be that we have to have an organization or whatever the case may be. So we're all like a melech. We're all like a moon or a sun. And in the very beginning of the Bria, Hashem gave us a certain, almost like in the physics and the science of the Bria, he showed a tension that the world is going to, the best functioning of the world is when each thing does what it's supposed to. But when it looks over its shoulder, then we end up with darkness. We end up with darkness. And it's so ironic because the moon was so upset about feeling like it's not going to shine enough. And look what happens. It ends up becoming so dark. That's the derech of the Yetzer Hara. So that's really in the fiber of the Bria. So when we talk about not being happy for other people, don't feel bad. It's not a new phenomena. You're not the first one that this happened to. This is a Rashi in Bereshis, which means even before man came to planet Earth, the shorish of this Ra was there. I heard from Rav Yisrael Elia Weintraub Zatzal. He said that all the kochos in the Bria actually, or the kochos hatoma, were already set up even before Adam came onto the scene. And one of those kochos hatoma was this machlokas between the sun and the moon. Another koach hatoma is that the trees did not want to taste, the fruit did not taste like the tree did not taste like the fruit. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, wanted tametz kipirio, and the tree sort of rejected that. Now again, don't get stuck on the fact that a tree is not a person. The Maharal says that there was something in the Bria that the tree wasn't willing to follow its directions. He wanted to express himself differently. Hashem said, I should taste like the fruit. No, I want to be a trunk. I want to be different, and I want to produce a tree, a pre. I don't want to be the pre. And there's a lot of depth to that, meaning when you want such self-expression that you want to be able to say, this is me, and that's the fruit. This is me, that's the fruit. The root of this like type of rebellion comes from over there as well. And we have in the Bria all these different things, these different kochos before man even comes on day six. We already have all these problems. So that's a chizuk, meaning it's a normal thing that we do this, but we still are learning Musar so that we get better at this. Okay, so now let's just go over the four things that were bad about making a joke of someone who's doing Avodas Hashem, right? Someone takes puts their tzitzis out. Somebody starts waking up early. Someone stops hanging around the dorm and ends up extending his night seder. So what's wrong with making a joke of these people? Four things, says the Orcha Sadikim. Number one is that it causes in you a very big negativity. You're making so much fun of things. It's going to cause you a tremendous amount of negativity. Shragi, I saw you with the kosel there. I got a little startled. I thought you were in Eretz Yisrael. Where are you, Shragi?
I try to. In my heart, I'm there, you know?
Where are you now?
I am, I'll show you. Sorry. I'm in my backyard preparing for this afternoon's event.
Oh, beautiful. Everyone can see Shragi has a little Madura. A baby, safe, a family-friendly Madura. Very nice. Anyway, so we have here, good to see you, Shragi. There are four reasons why you shouldn't insult, make fun of someone. One is what it does to you. That's number one. It makes you a negative person towards mitzvos, and mitzvos become cheap by you. The second is, because of your joking, the tzaddik might just stop doing this new hanhaga. Like, if you make comments to him, like, ooh, I remember you used to eat Ben and Jerry's. Now you're a Chalav Yisrael man. Woo, right? So Chas V'Shalom, he might decide to have Chalav Stam again because he doesn't want his older brother to bother him about it. He went to yeshiva eating Entenmann's, and now he's, or Dunkin' Donuts, or whatever the case may be. And now all of a sudden he's doing this, and he can't deal with his brother. So he'll actually change his hanhaga just to keep his brother quiet. And the third one is, you're called a Machtias HaRabim because you've created a very big, a callousness and detachment from mitzvos, from all of these jokes, which is very severe. And the fourth one is that Hashem, it's an attack on Hashem. He says it's like a bunch of thugs or robbers jumping a caravan that's bringing jewels to the king's palace. So here, every time someone grows in Avodas Hashem, he's someone who's bringing jewels to Hashem. And by you making fun of it, you're sort of robbing the king of those jewels. Beautiful insight over there. So let's go a little bit further today. Yesh od simcha mara kalana kigon rodfei niyuf. There are people who are happy with averus, like people who are happy with arayas, vigezel. There are certain, like, you know, expert thieves. You know, we don't think of ourselves like thieves, but you know, I know of people who get very happy when they scam, when they do a good scam. That's theft. And they're like, enjoy how clever they were to outsmart something. And sometimes it's downright gezel, they enjoy the challenge and the that's where their simcha comes. Bahasigam taivas haros, they get bad things in their life, they're excited. There's nothing worse than being happy with doing bad things. Baruch Hashem, we have a guilty conscience, and the Svarim HaKadoshim write that the guilty conscience that we have actually shows that we're still connected to Hashem. When a person is too happy doing an Avera, it means that they're actually detached. Actually, there was somebody who came to me. For years, he was off the derech. And finally, he says to me, I came to terms with being off the derech. I no longer feel guilty. So I was listening to this, and I didn't want to tell him at the time, but I'm not going to ever tell him. But I know why he's okay with why he came to terms with going off the derech, because says Sfas Emes and other Svarim that kol zman that you're still attached on some level, Hashem, the attachment creates guilt. That attachment itself is what causes the guilt, because you know you're better, you feel you're better, you feel somewhat connected. But when somebody does such a number on their neshama that they fully detach themselves, and then Yid is never fully detached. Never. A Yid can always come back. But when I say fully, I mean he did a number on himself. He really, really, he did as much as possible to detach himself. So then he's going to actually stop feeling guilty, which I found it sad. This fellow felt like, oh, I became shalim with being off the derech now because I stopped feeling guilty. And really the pshat is he became so off the derech and so distant that the neshama is not sending guilty feelings. The neshama is so squashed that it can't really be able to express itself and cry out and say, you really shouldn't be doing this. That's why, by the way, you should watch, you know, in a group of friends, you'll see in a group, let's say a group, Rahman al-Salam, they go to town and do something, but there's a group, there's always like a guy in the group who loves what he's doing. He's like so into it, and it could be one or two of those guys. And then there's like people in the group who are part of the group, but they're not feeling good about it. And they're in totally different groups. The ones who are really, really happy about doing something wrong are very far at this moment. Hopefully they'll come back. But because they can feel so good without feeling any guilt, it means they're very detached right now. And the ones who go with them and maybe even do the same things wrong, but have this feeling of a guilty conscience, it shows that they're very attached to Hashem. And that even though they're not doing something they're proud of right now, but they really are attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Important thing to think about. Shragi, you should make a beautiful Madura and light up the world with Kedusha and Tyra. And everybody here should have a Lichtigen Lag BaOmer. We should see Yeshua's V'Nechamos Kedai Lismoch Al Rav Shimon B'Shas Adchak. And we were asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Rachmim, to restore us to our normal living with Kedusha of the Beis Medrash and Kedusha's Beis Knesses and the Kedusha of having the Yedidim, our Chaverim, our Rabbeim, our Talmidim, all together, Klal Yisrael, Biyachad, and we should see this restored speedily. The Iris of Lag BaOmer should bring Rachmei Shamayim to all of Klal Yisrael. Everyone should have a Refuah Shleima and be gezunt, and there should be a Hagana on everyone, and have a great day.